I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, episode 27, Sleeping Through the Restoration. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with the principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag take time for family activity suggestion or a dinner conversation starter. I hope you've taken a few minutes to check out one of my newest posts, Your Ultimate Come Follow Me Resource Guide. It's a collection of over 100 online resources available to help you study the Come Follow Me. Just go to my blog, Melanie's Library, at melaniesLibrary.com to check it out. Today's topic is sleeping through the restoration. It's one of the principles discussed in Come Follow Me for October 21st through the 27th. This week, we are in Thessalonians. And I want to start by talking about 2 Thessalonians and read to you verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, turning to my handy-dandy New Testament Made Easier book that does a great job explaining scriptures to me, I want to read to you what it says about these verses. It says, quote, "It appears that some of the saints in Thessalonica had come to believe that the second coming of the Savior was very near and would come in their lifetime. Paul tells them that they should not believe such a thing, no matter what the source of their information. He informs them that there will be an apostasy from the church before the second coming. We often use verses 1 through 3 in teaching investigators that the great apostasy, as it is called, was prophesied by the apostles in the New Testament. Thus, it was necessary that there be a restoration of the gospel, which the Lord accomplished through the prophet Joseph Smith, beginning with the first vision in the spring of 1820. Unquote. Now, if you were to look in the topical guide under apostasy of the early Christian church, you would find that there are many scriptures which prophesy of the apostasy. But Paul's prediction to the Thessalonians is the clearest and most useful, especially for missionaries to use. And now, the great apostasy was more than just a decline in church membership. I mean, Paul is talking about something so universal that the very powers of Satan, the son of perdition, would take over the earth. But as we'll talk more about a little later, we know that the Lord knows everything from the beginning to the end, and he knew this would happen, and he already had things in place that would, later on in the great apostasy, prepare the world for the restoration. There is one quote I really like when it comes to describing the apostasy. This one is by Carlos E. Acey, and in talking about the great apostasy, he said, quote, "That sad day surely did come when grievous wolves entered in among Christian flock. By the close of the first century, after the death of Christ, all the apostles had been killed and a long night of spiritual darkness blanketed the earth. Before long, the people had transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant, just as Isaiah predicted they would. The early Christian church became splintered. Antichrist and false prophets appeared on the scene, and some men claimed to be apostles, but were found to be liars. Thus the days came when there was a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Many volumes have been written describing the great apostasy, wherein pagan practices and other worldly influences diluted the early Christian doctrine. Eventually, the priesthood was lost, the gifts of the Spirit were no longer manifested, and the pure love of God waxed cold. Ultimately, the gospel taught by Christ and his apostles were perverted almost beyond recognition, and the church established by the Master was spiritually raised by men with ulterior motives, unquote. What a sad time that had to be alive. I like his description of a long night of spiritual darkness blanketed the earth. Can you even imagine it? I mean, the best way I can imagine it is by picturing the world today, full of evil, yet without the gospel. Without a President Nelson and all our beloved apostles and church leaders, without the Book of Mormon, without temples, without the sacrament, what a truly dark world it would be. Doesn't that make you even much more grateful for the gospel in your life today? I am so, so grateful. What I find pretty cool is how we can look back at history and see how the Lord, in his wisdom and timing, had a plan, and he slowly put things into place, preparing the world for the restoration of the gospel. Kind of like growing a black bamboo. Did you know that among the many varieties of bamboo grown in China, there is the beautiful black bamboo? And the black bamboo will spread very quickly from a grown plant. But to grow and harvest black bamboo from seed, that is an entirely different matter. Jim Cecil, he's an author and motivational speaker, tells of a time when he was visiting China for a conference and he was offered a personal tour of a black bamboo farm. Now, I want to share this with you straight from Jim's article. He said, quote, "Extending as far as the eye could see was an empty field of rich black tilled earth. Not a single bamboo plant was in sight, not even a tree. Peter, our guide, explained to us that the field had been sown a few weeks prior. Each of over 1,000 farmers carrying a heavy satchel of seeds, water, and fertilizer on their backs, they would place one seed at a time in the ground, followed by a deep drink of water and a handful of fertilizer from their heavy satchel. Now, the process of watering and fertilizing is ritually carried out weekly on a seed-by-seed basis for nearly 5 years. No heavy machines, no modern irrigation equipment, just individual farmers carefully tending the individual needs of each seedling in the field. Now, about a mile down the dusty road was a field that Peter told us had been sown 2 years prior. When we reached our destination, we were surprised to see what looked to us like thousands of farmers working in an empty field. Our big surprise was when Peter told us that every week up until the 11th month of the fifth year, the bamboo fields appeared visually barren. In the 12th month of the fifth year, the black bamboo would suddenly sprout and very rapidly grow up to 60 feet in just under 30 days. Unquote. The great apostasy lasted for nearly 2,000 years. During this time period, however, hundreds of years before the gospel was restored, the Lord planted seeds, much like black bamboo seeds, and he began to feed and water them. I mean, long, long before Joseph Smith was born, world events helped to prepare the soil for the sprouting and the restoration. Events like the Renaissance, the invention of the printing press, the translation of the Bible into everyday language, the Reformers, the discovery and colonization of America, the Constitution of the United States, and the preparation of individuals such as Joseph Smith's family. The Lord planted seeds and took care of them for hundreds of years until finally the restoration came. And when it came, there was no stopping it. I mean, it sprouted and it has grown and grown. We are continually receiving new revelation, and membership in the church is growing rapidly all over the world. It is amazing to see, just as I'm sure it's amazing to see the black bamboo suddenly sprout and grow. What a testimony builder of the Lord's hand throughout the history of the world. How fortunate we are to live in a time when the church has once again been restored. But the big question I have for you today is, are you growing in the gospel? Now, I have a brother-in-law who is over the radiology department at the hospital. And not too long ago, he had some higher-ups come and visit. And in talking with my brother-in-law about the department, one of the higher-ups asked him about one of his techs that has been working there for 30 years. And he posed a question to my brother-in-law that I thought was very interesting. He asked, referring to this 30-year tech, does he have 30 years of experience or 1 year repeated 30 times? Wow, what an interesting way to look at it. And I think we can do the same with our membership in God's kingdom. Do we have so many years experience or just 1 year repeated so many times? In other words, are we learning and growing as we live the gospel, or are we just doing the same things over and over? Are we repenting and striving to do better each day and grow closer to our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ? Or are we simply going through the motions? The Apostle Paul asked something similar to the Thessalonians and to us when he said in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Are we doing all we can to perfect what is lacking in our faith? Or as Elder Uchtdorf once asked the brethren, are we sleeping through the restoration?
Nearly 200 years ago, the American short story Rip Van Winkle became an instant classic. The main character, Rip, is an unambitious man who is very good at avoiding two things: work and his wife. One day, while wandering in the mountains with his dog, he discovers a group of strangely dressed men drinking and playing games. After accepting some of their liquor, Rip becomes drowsy and closes his eyes for a moment. When he opens his eyes again, he is surprised to find that his dog is gone, his rival has rusted, and he now has a long beard. Rip makes his way back to his village, only to discover that everything has changed. His wife has died, his friends are gone, and the portrayal of King George III in the tavern has been replaced by a portrayal of someone he does not recognize, by General George Washington. Rip Van Winkle had been sleeping for 20 years. And in the process, he had missed one of the most exciting periods in the history of his country. He had slept through the American Revolution. In May of 1966, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used this story as an illustration for his speech, "Don't Sleep Through the Revolution." Today, I would like to take the same theme and propose a question to all of us who hold God's priesthood. Are you sleeping through the restoration? Sometimes we think of the restoration of the gospel as something that is complete, already behind us. Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon. He received priesthood keys. The church was organized. In reality, the restoration is an ongoing process. We are living in it right now. It includes all that God has revealed, all that He does now reveal, and the many great and important things He will yet reveal. Brethren, the exciting developments of today are part of that long foretold period of preparation that will culminate in the glorious second coming of our Savior Jesus Christ.
I love that. We are living in the exciting day of the restoration. Now is not the time to be asleep. We are preparing for the finale, for the second coming of Christ. It is an exciting time to be alive. But how can we be sure we are not sleeping through it? What can we do to perfect what is lacking in our faith? Neil A. Maxwell taught, quote, "Serving, studying, praying, and worshiping are four fundamentals in perfecting that which is lacking in our faith. If we cease nurturing our faith in any of these four specific ways, we are vulnerable." Unquote. I hope we all realize how blessed we are to be living in these hard yet exciting times. I mean, be grateful that we're not living in the dark ages of the apostasy, but instead we are privileged to be a part of something wonderful. Let's not waste this time by simply going through the motions, by doing the same things repeatedly. Let us repent. Let us grow in the gospel and make the most of this time. Let's be an instrument in the Lord's hands. He needs us. And I say this in Jesus' name, amen. Now a word from one of my affiliates. My affiliates provide the means to keeping my blog and podcast up and running, so I am grateful to them and to you. If you love to read books, you don't want to miss out on Deseret Bookshelf Plus. It is Deseret's app that has all of your favorite church books that you can now access on your device, or what I love and use the most is their numerous selections of audiobooks. Your first 30 days are free when you sign up. Simply go to melanieslibrary.com/shop. All right, on to our family home evening suggestion. But first, let me remind you, if you haven't already, you can go to today's show notes and sign up for my Teach Me Family Home Evening email group, where I send you an easy-to-use family home evening outline each week that goes along with the podcast, making family home evening preparation as simple as possible for you. Simply go to melanieslibrary.com/teachme27 to sign up. For some suggested songs, you could do Praise to the Man or play the video I Will Be What I Believe. I'll have a link to it in the email. And then for the scripture, read 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3, and explain how the saints there had come to believe that the second coming of the Savior was very near and would come in their lifetime. But Paul tells them not to believe that, and that there will be an apostasy before the second coming. And also that the great apostasy was going to be more than just this decline in church membership, but something so universal that the very powers of Satan would take over the earth. Then show a picture of a black bamboo. I'll have one in the email. And tell the story of the black bamboo. Then explain how it relates to the apostasy and the restoration. Perhaps ask them if they can think of events in history that help prepare for the restoration, and discuss how fortunate we are to live in a time when the church has once again been restored. But the big question is, are we growing in the gospel, or are we sleeping through it? And then play the video clip of Elder Uchtdorf telling the Rip Van Winkle story. And then share how Paul asked something similar in 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Read it and ask, are we doing all we can to perfect what is lacking in our faith? And what should I be doing to ensure that I'm not sleeping through the restoration? Share the quote from Neil A. Maxwell, where he says the four fundamentals are serving, studying, praying, and worshiping. And bear your testimony to the truthfulness of the restoration. Encourage them to ask the Lord what it is they are lacking, and what they can be doing to be living the gospel better and to ensure that they aren't just going through the motions. And then for an activity to remind us of the story of planting the black bamboo, you can make those chocolate pudding cups where you have a cup of chocolate pudding, which you pretend is the dirt. And then you can add things to your dirt like crushed Oreos for fertilizer, gummy worms for the worms, and chocolate chips or little candies to act as the seeds. Have fun with it and enjoy. All right, for our teaching tip, I've got one more teaching tip this week on ministering, and then next week I'll move on, I promise. I first want to play you a clip of Ryan Hamilton's stand-up comedy. Here it goes.
Little things are happening. I fell down. I used to trip. Do you understand? Here's how life goes. Tripping, young. Falling, old. I fell down. It was significant. I'm calling it an adult fall. And I say that because I remember as a child, adults talking to other adults about falling in very hushed, serious tones. Do you remember those conversations? Ryan, Grandma fell. Did you tell her to get up? I fell 6 times. It's not even noon. What do you want from me? But I understand now. I have a little empathy. I had my own adult fall. I fell on the streets of New York City. People were around. I mean, there was no denying it. Everyone asked, are you okay? Yes. But let me make this point. Not everyone meant it. That's true. 2 25-year-old girls on the street go, are you okay? I mean, there was... zero empathy in their reaction. The words came out of their mouth. What they actually communicated was, I wish my camera was on for that. That was spectacular. Are you okay? Has anyone ever answered no to are you okay in the history of falling down? My body was screaming I was not okay. And I still said, I'm fine. I want to die alone right here. Put the orange cones around me and leave me alone. Are you okay? What am I supposed to say to 2 25-year-old girls on the street? No, can you 2 petite children take me to the hospital? What are you gonna do? Go get a grown-up, quick. I was with a girl when I fell. Let me just tell you the whole story. So there we are, we're at dinner, we're enjoying each other's company. Over time, I thought maybe we should date. So I brought it up. I said, maybe we should date. She very kindly, as gingerly as humanly possible, said, maybe we should not date. Now, it's okay. I'm happy to have an honest conversation. But then we left the restaurant, and then I fell down. And now, my only wish for this whole scenario is that there could have been a little space between these two moments. That's all I'm just... Does nobody have my back? Is there not one guardian angel petitioning for me going, look, he threw a curveball at dinner. Nobody saw that coming. Is there any way that we can push his adult fall by just a day? And I can just hear God going, you know, I would love to, but we've pushed this adult fall as far as we can possibly push it. I'm very sorry. Everyone's in place. There's simply nothing I can do. Anyway, he's going to be fine. He looks young from up here.
Did you love that part where he talks about his adult fall? Oh, that was one of my favorite parts. Oh, how that had to be embarrassing. And what he said was true. I mean, how often when people are asked if they are okay, that they say no? Like never. Everyone always says, I'm fine. But isn't that also true with the people we minister to? If we ask them, how are you doing? Most times they will say, I'm fine, even if they're not. Perhaps it's time we change what we ask. Perhaps next time we should ask questions like, how can I pray for you? What makes you happy? What are you worried about right now? What's been keeping you busy lately? Ask questions that people can't answer with, I'm fine. And I'll bet you get to know those you minister to a lot better. And then every time you hear the words, I'm fine, I hope you'll think of Ryan Hamilton and smile. All right. Last but not least, hashtag take time for family. The two most important ways to build family relationships is through 1, spending time together, and 2, conversation. Today, I have a family activity suggestion for you, and that is play Kahoot. Have you ever played that before? If you haven't, you're missing out. I hope you'll try it. It's super easy and lots of fun. It's pretty much a quiz app. Teachers use it at school. I've used it for lessons at church or at family get-togethers. You can make your own quiz, or there are lots you can choose from that other people have made. I have a whole post on my blog on how to play and even how to make your own quizzes. It's super fun with a group of people. Basically, a question comes up on the main screen. It's either on, you have it connected to a TV or on your computer screen, and then everyone on their devices will click on the multiple choice answer that they think is correct. You get points for being correct and for how fast you answered the question. When we have family over on Sundays, we oftentimes play Kahoot. I mean, you can search quizzes like Disney movies or restaurant logos or Star Wars. There is literally all kinds. Or like I said, you can also make your own. It is loads of fun. Try it out. I'll have a link to it in the show notes at melanieslibrary.com/teachme27. And that is all for today. I hope you have a fabulous rest of the week. And don't forget, if you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you leave me a review on iTunes. I'll talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.